or tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, July the 5th, 1990. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Gene Moody is the teacher of the afternoon.
Well, Brother Gene Moody is going to teach us this afternoon. And I know beforehand, because the Moodys and us do the same thing. Whatever we teach, we end up doing something about it when we get through. So when he gets through teaching, we will have a demonstration and of what he teaches and have some more deliverance.
Many people have been helped in this camp meeting, and I would say a significant manner. In other words, not just slightly, but more than slightly. In fact, considerably. To me, this is the whole purpose of the camp, is to help people. And this is my purpose in being here. And if I didn't see people helped, I wouldn't come. Most of you know I'm an engineer. Engineers are generally very practical people. And as such, I like to see results. So I've seen results in this camp meeting, and it's really been a blessing to me. Now, my lesson for today, and see, I teach lessons. I'm a teacher. Okay, so I'm going to teach you today. Is cursing others and being cursed. Cursing others and being cursed. Now, Erling and Linda are writing a book on curses. And I'm really interested in seeing that one proceed, because there's such a dire need for this type of information. The lesson I've got here is an overview. And when you get to know me so often, I like to go through the Bible and give you an overview of a topic. And so this is an overview, and I gave Linda a copy so that however it might help her write that book, and I gave Erling a copy too. The lesson that Glenn taught the other morning, I'm going to build on that. He gave you a scriptural outline. And so I'm not going to use near as many scriptures as he did, and I'm just going to build on what he did. And I think these two lessons will flow together. To begin with, though, I'm going to give you some of my thoughts. You got to watch out when you give people your thoughts. Okay, see what you think about this. See if you think that these thoughts are valid or I'm wet. It is amazing to me how many areas of the Bible are not explored and taught or preached by the fivefold ministry. It seems like God shows us a never-ending list of topics to teach and minister on that are not commonly or even infrequently taught. Apparently, most ministers choose areas of the Bible that they are comfortable with and will further their ministry. The areas that they are not comfortable with are controversial or unpopular, or might cause them to lose some of their congregation or offerings, they avoid like the plague. This may be an excuse before man, but is not an excuse before God, and they will have to answer to Him in the great day of judgment. Ministers and Christian leaders, please think about standing before God and explaining why you did not teach certain areas of the Bible, especially deliverance. Another weakness is a minister that says that you have to keep it simple so that the baby Christians will understand. So they teach the same thing over and over again. The baby Christians are continually fed milk and are never fed the meat of the Word of God. These Christians never grow up to be mature, strong Christians. Many of these baby Christians will fall away from Jesus Christ and go back out into the world. Can you see that the minister is doing his congregation a disservice? Now, one of the blessings of being up here is we really get the strong Word of God. I don't think there's any minister who comes up here who's afraid to preach the Word of God, who's afraid to preach what God has given him without fear or favor towards men. And most of them, they don't pull the punches. They go ahead and say what they think God wants you to hear. And I like that. I mean, it irritates me to see a minister up in a pulpit who's afraid to preach the Word of God. It is clear that the body of Christ needs a fivefold ministry, which consists of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Many pastors would like to make it a fourfold ministry and eliminate the teachers. They say that the pastor is a pastor teacher and there is no separate teaching ministry. If this is true, then why don't they teach the whole Word of God and not just a part of it? We need teachers who expound the whole Bible in a systematic manner so that the body of Christ can have a working knowledge of the Bible and put it into practice. There is a clear difference between preaching and teaching. Preaching is for the moment to stir people up and to get them to make decisions in their lives. They walk out of church and usually quickly forget the message. Teaching is for the future to get people to remember the message and apply it to their lives. Teaching gives them a sound foundation to build on and then gives them the structure to build on the foundation. I'm a structural engineer. I can design you a foundation, or I can design you a building to go on that foundation. First, you have to have the foundation sitting on good, solid soil or piling or rock or whatever. It'll stay there, permanent, like the rock of Jesus Christ. Then you come in with your building, and you have to have a building that has proper columns in it and frames and trusses and so forth, so that that building will stand. And then you can put a roof on it and walls on it and so forth. It'll stand there. It will stand there when the storms come along, when you have your high winds and your hurricanes like we do in Louisiana. It will stand there through the high winds, through the earthquakes, and so forth. Okay, this is the same way with the Word of God. You have to have that foundation, and you have to have that building with the Word of God so that you will survive when the winds come. And I guarantee you the winds are going to hit every one of you like they've hit Erlin and I many times and will in the future. There are many weaknesses in the church today which cause the body of Christ to be in a weakened condition. We cannot live on emotionalism for long. It makes you feel good for the service, but it won't last when the trials of living in this world come to us. We need to have the solid foundation of the Bible to support us in trials and tribulations. It is nice to feel emotional about our salvation. We are not saved by feelings, but by our belief in the Word of God. So, if you didn't get real emotional about your salvation, does that mean you're not saved? No. You're saved by the belief in the Word of God, not by emotion. You don't live by emotion. Emotion's nice. I like emotion. I get emotional. I cry. I have a ball. I enjoy worshiping God, and I let myself go. You may think I'm crazy sometimes when I do, but I do, and I enjoy it. See, I used to be an introvert. I'm a trained engineer with getting now close to 40 years of experience. I knew how to work with things like buildings, but I didn't know how to work with people. I used to be an introvert. Well, now you might say I'm an extrovert for Jesus Christ. When my son died, I couldn't even hardly say the name of Jesus, but I was a deacon in the church. Didn't have any love in my life for people. I was a two-bit Christian. Okay, now I could get up. I mean, it wouldn't be any problem for me at all to go down to Africa and cast demons out of 500,000 people at one time. I'm no longer an introvert. I'm an extrovert. Why am I an extrovert? Because Jesus Christ brought me out of that shell. He brought me out so that I could do what I'm doing. Another weakness is catering to our fleshly desires. For example, the desire to have possessions. All right, let's look up a little scripture. Let's look up 1 Timothy 6:10. This is really a good one, and I'd like to do a research on this. So I think there's an awful lot. I've never heard anybody really do an in-depth teaching on this. And there's a lot here that I'd like to understand. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. All of you know this. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money is the root of all evil. And we see that affecting Christianity, where the Christians get unbalanced and they go after things. Okay? They coveted after things. They erred. Okay, can you err from the faith if you don't have the faith? Who's that talking about? That's talking about us. And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Many Christians have been pierced through with many sorrows because they had a love for money, the root of all evil. Okay, you see it on television. You can see what has happened to some of these people. Now, that's some of my thoughts. Just call those Gene's thoughts, except I just read you the Word of God, which is not my thought. God said that. So, do you agree or disagree with me? Am I way off track in what I'm saying? Okay. Praise God. You have the right to agree or disagree with me. You don't have to agree with me. Those are just some of my thoughts. And every now and then I let go. Okay, now, back to the lesson. That was just a sort of what I felt like the Lord was telling me as I sat there at the computer. I sat at a computer and typed these things up. That's the way I developed the lesson. It's really easy. The Lord taught me to type in high school. I never realized I'd be using typing for my business, for my ministry. It's really been a blessing to be able to type. And a computer makes it so easy. It's got Word. It checks your spelling and it does all kind of things. Makes it real easy. So if you know how to type, get you a computer. Okay, now, that's some of my thoughts and I won't charge you a thing for that. Now let's get into something serious. Okay, blessing others and being blessed. There's a lot in the Bible that deals with how to bless others and how to be blessed. This is a balance to cursing others and being cursed. Do you know there's a balance in God? God is not unbalanced. Okay. Love and justice. Cursing and blessing. There's a balance there. We hear a lot talk about God blessing you, but not much taught about how you can bless others in thought, word, and deed. The emphasis is on what God will do for you without you having to do anything. Christianity is not a free lunch, and we're not on welfare. To be an effective Christian requires considerable effort. There are no blessings in the Bible that are unconditional. For every blessing, there is a condition that you must fulfill before you receive a blessing. In other words, this is the if you see so often in the verses, either stated directly or understood. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. That's a book that we will stay in a lot on this lesson. And that Glenn stays in a lot too. Deuteronomy. In fact, if you want to learn about curses, it wouldn't hurt you to read that whole book. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Sounds good, doesn't it? We like that verse. Oh, let's just reverse it around. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt not hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will not set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall not come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Do you see the if in there? If you do it, you get blessed. If you don't do it, what happens if you don't do it? What that word starts with a C? Cursed. Okay, psychic prayers. And full gospel Christians fall into this trend. They think they can pray any way they want to, and God will bless them. A psychic prayer is any prayer that does not line up with the Word of God. If you pray contrary to the Bible, then you are praying not to God, but to Satan. Satan then has the right before God to loose demons on the people that you prayed for as well as yourself. Psychic prayers is a good way to curse others and to be cursed in return. Reggie and Pat just left, but if they were here, I would have Reggie get up and tell you about how people left his church when he started preaching deliverance and forgiveness, and how they went out and they prayed for him so that God would straighten him up, and how this loosed demons on him and his family, and how they had to deal with it. There's a real good lesson in that. Spoken curses. Now, these are curses spoken out of your mouth. There are two ways that we can curse another person, in thought or in speaking. We can pray a psychic prayer, which I just talked to you about, or we can speak against another person either in our thoughts or out loud. We need to be careful what we think and speak as well as what we do. Do you think that just because you think it, it doesn't have any effect, that you've got to speak it out? Okay, I've heard this teaching, you know, that Satan can't hear your thoughts. I mean, if you think it, Satan doesn't know about it. I don't believe that. I believe that the spiritual world knows what we say and what we do. I believe we're constantly monitored by God and by Satan. The words we think or speak go out into the air, and they have power to do good or evil. All right, let's look up Ecclesiastes 10:20. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. It's an interesting verse. I find all kind of interesting verses in the Bible I wish I knew more about. Okay, let's look at this one. It says, curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Could this be a demon spirit that God is talking about, carrying your thoughts or words to the one that you're thinking or talking about? Interesting thought. Isn't it interesting how when you talk about people, that many times they hear about it, find out about it? You wonder, how in the world did they ever hear about that? How do they find out about that? Well, that's that little bird, that little demon or whatever. Ancestral curses. The first curses that we can receive are those placed on us by our ancestors, which include our parents. Did you know your parents are your ancestors? That's your first line of ancestry. These curses can come down the ancestral line and are transferred by familiar spirits that are familiar with our family ancestral sins. What is a familiar spirit? That's just a demon that's familiar with your family. He goes down generation after generation trying to get your descendants to repeat your sins or the sins of your ancestors. The ancestral curses are started by our ancestors committing some sin against God that is mentioned in the Bible. God would not curse us without warning us beforehand. A good example is the curse of worshiping other gods. Okay, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. You could keep one finger in that book, because I go back and forth to it several times. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. If our ancestors worshipped other gods in the manner described in these verses, then they curse their descendants to the third and fourth generation. We are innocent and committed no sin, but we are still cursed because of what those did who were in authority over us. However, it is not hopeless. God gave us a way to break the curses on us and our descendants. And Glenn demonstrated that in his message, and I'm going to go again in breaking curses in this message. Parental curses, that's curses coming down through your parents. The parents can curse the child in the womb, after the child is born, and until it dies. How about that? My daughter is married now. It would be nice if I could no longer do her any harm. But I can. So I have to be careful. Even though my daughter is married, I can still do things that will harm her. This is frightening when you think about the consequences of your actions on your children. And boy, it really frightened me when I saw what I had done to my own children. When I see what other people have done to their children, the consequences are frightening. Make you lose a lot of sleep and a lot of tears and cry and pray and seek God because of what you've done to your children through your ignorance. You wouldn't do it deliberately. See, none of you would harm your children deliberately, I don't think. I don't think there's anyone here who would deliberately harm their children. But see, you do it out of ignorance. But the children are still harmed. Common examples of cursing the child in the womb include conceiving the child in lust, not wanting the child when it is conceived, and failing in an abortion attempt. Common examples of cursing the child after it is born include rejecting the child in some manner, such as wanting a boy when a girl is born, and not quickly changing their minds, cursing the child in thought or words, mistreating the child mentally, physically, spiritually, or materially, such as physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. So there are many ways that you can damage your children. Now let's look at cursing by others other than their ancestors. We're looking at curses coming at you from your ancestors and from other people. You can be cursed by others other than your ancestors. These include those in the grip of the devil, Satan worshipers, witches and warlocks, covens, fortune tellers, and anyone practicing witchcraft. These include those in Christianity who speak against you and pray psychic prayers for you. Did you know that another Christian can curse you? They can, and they do. How can you be cursed by these people? All right, let's look at Proverbs 26:2. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm all wet. Let's go to Deuteronomy 23:2. not why I got over in Proverbs. Deuteronomy 23:2. Oh, I see. Okay, got in the wrong paragraph. Okay, it is Proverbs 26:2. Okay, get with it, Gene. Okay, Proverbs 26:2. We've also got one in here on Deuteronomy 23:2. As a bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. As a bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. There must be a cause for the curse of the land. We have not seen anyone that lives a blameless, sinless, perfect life according to the whole Word of God. All you have to do is read or listen to the Bible and see if you fulfill its provisions 100%. It is very sobering to see how far you miss the target that God set for us to aim at. We will never be perfect until Jesus Christ finishes the task in the hereafter. Really, I don't understand how God is going to come for a church without spot and wrinkle. I don't see anybody here on earth that's ever going to be without spot and wrinkle. So I don't understand how God's going to do that. So that's beyond me. But He clearly says He's going to come without a church, for a church without spot and wrinkle. Do you have spots and wrinkles? Sure, you got many. Do I have them? Does Glenn have them? Irma, Earlene? Sure, we got spots and wrinkles. How are we going to get rid of those? Well, through deliverance, we're in the process of getting rid of our spots and wrinkles. But to say we have absolutely no spots and wrinkles, I really wish I could say that and be truthful to you. I might tell you that in a lie, but I can't tell you that and be truthful. I have spots and wrinkles. I sin. I have to ask for forgiveness. I make mistakes in judgment. Okay, cursing yourself. Can you curse yourself? Absolutely. Other than being cursed by others, you can curse yourself. You can do this by sinning against God. For example, say that you conceived a bastard before marriage. It does not matter that you then get married. The damage has already been done. Now we're down to Deuteronomy 23:2. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 23:2. Get it right this time. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2. And we might as well read 3:2. They go hand in hand. A bastard. What is a bastard? Any of you don't know what a bastard is? That's an illegitimate child. The world calls it an illegitimate child. God calls it a bastard. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. That's a child conceived before marriage or out of wedlock. Even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Ammonite or a Moabite. Okay, what is an Ammonite or a Moabite? That was conceived by Lot and his daughters by incest. Right. Okay. Incest is what? That's having sex with who? With family, with relatives. Right. Okay. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation shall they not enter the congregation of the Lord forever. Alright, so we're talking about a bastard and incest. What you and your girlfriend did, see, that was your girlfriend, wasn't your wife, was to sin by committing fornication, a sin listed in the Bible. How do I know that's a sin? I read my Bible, the Bible says fornication is a sin. You shouldn't do those things. Both of you curse yourselves and 10 generations of your descendants with a curse of the bastard. These familiar spirits will work to cause family and church alienation and a perpetuation of bastards generation after generation. Can you see that? If you conceive a bastard, you loose demons on your children, your descendants. They will tend to go out and create more bastards. They will keep the curse going. Okay, now why would this cause family and church alienation? Well, God said that a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his 10 generations shall he not enter in the congregation of the Lord. Well, so there are going to be bastards. There may be bastards here today. You're in a congregation. Okay? These are typically the kind of Christians who go from church to church, who can't, they just can't become comfortable in churches. They cause strife in churches. You can sin against your own body. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Okay, when I read this verse, I think about Patty. Is Patty here? Patty's got that book back there, Flee Fornication. You better flee it. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So when you commit fornication, you sin against your own body. I don't fully understand it. Okay, but you're sinning against yourself, and there's consequences to be paid. This is the only sin that you do that sins against your body and brings curses directly against you. In fact, the Lord just reminded me of a verse. It'll send you to hell, too. The path to the harlot, the whore, the prostitute leads to hell. This sin can lead to hell, spiritual death, physical diseases, physical death or living torment, and many problems in your life, such as death of your marriage. Now, let's talk about cursing your descendants. Who are your descendants? That's your children, your grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, great-great-great-great, all the way down to the 10th generation, let's say. When you curse yourself, you also curse your descendants. I know of no one generational curse. They are multiple generation curses. We have discussed the curse of the bastard and the curse of incest and the curse of worshiping other gods. These carry a 10 and a 3 to 4 generation curse, respectively. Okay, there's clear the 3 to 4 generation curse and the 10 generation curse. There are actually curses that go all the way back to Adam and Eve. God cursed certain things when Adam and Eve fell. Those curses are in effect today. Origin of curses. What is the origin of curses? Where do curses come from? They come from God and are carried out by Satan with permission from God. Satan is just a tool of God. Satan can't do anything that God won't let him do. But Satan will do everything he can to you where he has the legal right. Curses can be found listed in the Bible. Satan cannot fabricate curses to place on you the way he fabricates lies. So Satan doesn't make up these curses. They're all legitimate. Now let's look at Deuteronomy 28:15. Deuteronomy 28:15. Now, this one doesn't sound so good. It's not quite as nice as 28:1-2. Maybe I'll just leave that one out. It doesn't make you feel good. Okay, Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and all his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. How about that? All these curses are going to come upon you. Wow. Let's look at where curses come from and where they go. Remember that all curses originate from God. Anybody have any problems with that, that the curses come from God? They're godly curses. They come from him because you disobey his word. Curses can come to you from your ancestors or from those who are not your ancestors. So I tend to visualize things, like sometimes I'll draw pictures. Okay, so you got curses coming from your ancestors down the bloodline, and curses coming from others who are not your ancestors and not your bloodline. You can curse yourself. Okay, so I curse myself in what I do. And unfortunately, I probably curse myself many times. And I pay some dear prices for some of the times I curse myself. Curses can go out from you to your descendants. So now I curse myself and I curse my descendants. I curse my son. I curse my daughter. I curse my grandchildren in what I do. And to others, not your descendants. So I do things. I may do things that are wrong. I may curse people who are here. I may curse people in this camp. Ignorantly, whatever. You see? So not only can I curse my descendants, but I curse others. You are others. None of you here are related to me by the bloodline as far as I know. I can curse you in my actions, in my thoughts, in my deeds. Now let's look at biblical curses. There are probably 66 curses that can be easily identified in the Bible by simply looking up the word curse, as well as the words cursed or cursed and cursing. Most of the curses are not so easily identified, but must be discovered by studying the Bible and practicing deliverance. So as you get in deliverance, these things will become clear to you. We believe that there is a curse associated with every curse in the Bible that you disobey. Do you believe that? Out of what I read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2 and 15? To me, what that tells me is anytime you obey the Bible, you're blessed. Anytime you disobey, you're cursed. And there's a name. There's a name of a curse behind everything you do that you disobey. Deuteronomy chapter 28 is a chapter of blessings for obedience and the curses for disobedience. Compare Deuteronomy 28:1-2, blessings with 28:15, curses. Notice the little word all and the five times it is used. The corollary to the analogy of all blessings or all curses is that in between all and none are some blessings and some curses. You can be all blessed, or all cursed, or partially blessed and partially cursed. So what I observe in my life, in Earlene's life, and in the lives of people that I know, is we are partially blessed and we're partially cursed. Nobody that I know of has come into the full blessings of all of the Word of God. For that matter, I don't know of anybody that's 100% cursed. That's pretty difficult to be 100% cursed. But I know people who are close to being 100% cursed. And I'm sure I know some people who are probably better than 50% blessed. I mean, they're getting up in the higher percentages of the blessing. But nobody, I don't think anybody on this earth is 100% blessed that follows the Bible 100%. The curse of disobedience. God sends demons and evil on people for disobedience of His commandments. The following are paraphrases of verses about this subject. This is a study I did. I'm just giving you some little excerpts out of this study I did. Listen to this. This came out of the Bible. He will put a yoke of iron on your neck. Sickness can be caused by demons. God sends evil spirits to do some of His missions. God allows Satan to prove Job. The deceived and the deceiver are His. He created evil and the waster to destroy. He has deceived and sent strong delusions. He sent a messenger in the flesh. Now let's look up Isaiah 45:7. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7. This is an interesting one. I know a lot of Christians don't believe this is in the Bible. They say, God wouldn't do that. Well, He put it in the Bible. Isaiah 45:7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. It says He creates evil, doesn't He? I didn't say that. I didn't make that up. Okay. That's another interesting one to study. I wish I had the time to do a topic study on every verse in the Bible. I recommend this to you. Some subject comes into your mind and it's really interesting to you. It's not hard to do. You don't have to have a Ph.D., a doctor in theology to do this. Just get your Bible out. Get you a concordance like Strong's or Young's, or get Kevin's. The easy way is just get Kevin's computer program and punch in the word and it'll spit out all the verses. And just look these things up. And just look up all the verses that you see in Strong's or Young's. And then if you want to go past that, then just run your chain references. And you'll have quite a study then. Now, listen to these. Now, you're going to say, Gene made this up. But I didn't make this up. I took it out of research, out of what I'm telling you. These actions by God cause many things to happen to people. Listen to this. See if it applies to you. Sickness, cruelty, lying, seduction, death, deceit, troubling, confusion, lethargy, misery, destruction, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness, badness, adversity, affliction, calamity, displeasure, distress, grief, harm, hurt, mischief, sadness, trouble, vex, wretchedness, wrong, perishing, decay, ruin, corruptness, destroying, falling, deluded, allured, enticed, persuaded, slumber, stupor, hardening, deceit, error, and so forth. All right, those things can come upon you because you are cursed. And God will allow those things to happen to you. Now, the curse of Ahab and Jezebel. Booklets. There are two free booklets on the back table, the curse of Ahab and the curse of Jezebel. Pick up a copy for each of you and also get a copy of our testimony from death into real life. It took us 4 years to write our testimony after our only son Byron died at 12 years old. We did not write these two booklets, but only print them and give them away free to help people. We have seen the teaching, ministry, and counseling about Ahab men and Jezebel women help many people. You can trace these curses back to Adam and Eve in the garden when they fell from the grace of God into sin. Read these booklets and see how many problems of mankind are caused by these characteristics of men and women. Queen Jezebel was a prime example of controlling others. A Jezebelic wife and mother is actually practicing witchcraft as she tries to control her family. Charismatic witches use personal prophecy to control others. Charismatic witches are Jezebels. And I really seriously recommend you do that. I print those books up 500 at a time, and I give them away. So until they're gone, get you one copy each of those. Curse of Ahab and the curse of Jezebel. And I can identify, Earlene and I can identify a lot of problems that you have that are caused by Ahab men and Jezebelic women. And women, there wouldn't be Jezebelic women if there weren't Ahab men. They have the burden of responsibility before God. The men preachers can't stand up in the pulpit and blame it all on the women. They so frequently do that, they're trying to find an excuse, even the preachers. It's not the women that's a problem in this world, it's the men. They have the responsibility before God. Now the women, they'll kick and scream and holler and climb the walls and everything when a man takes his spiritual responsibility. But in the long run, they like it. Women are made to like the man, to be priest and head of the home. The curse of charismatic witchcraft. Another aspect of Ahab and Jezebel is charismatic witchcraft. Witchcraft is a practice of trying to control others for personal gain. Charismatic witchcraft is exercising control over other Christians by leaders or by anyone within the congregation. A lot can be written about this subject. There are many demons associated with control of others. This practice is basically mind control, and you see it in the churches. Soul ties are formed with those to whom we submit our wills. Soul ties can be formed with leaders of the church as well as with anyone in the occult that we go to for help. A dictatorial pastor will form soul ties with his congregation. The church leaders are cursed by trying to take the place of God in our lives. The congregation is cursed for following man rather than God. So both of you are cursed. You develop soul ties. You become demonized. You need deliverance. We have no right to control others. God gave us a free will, and even He will not try to control us. Therefore, we enter into an agreement with Satan and his demons when we attempt to control others and we are practicing witchcraft. So if you're trying to control others, you're practicing witchcraft. You're a witch or a warlock. You may be practicing white witchcraft. I'm just doing that to help them. Well, nevertheless, you're practicing witchcraft. God doesn't do that, and He doesn't give us any right to do that. Now, your children, that's a different situation. You have a responsibility for them. Okay, but once they get married, you no longer have that responsibility. You don't have the same responsibility. Many parents, especially women, can't let their children go. The Curse of the Bastard booklet. You can purchase the booklet, The Curse of the Bastard, at the book table. We understand that thousands of these booklets have been mailed out. We believe that probably everyone has the curse of the bastard and the curse of incest on them if they have not forgiven their ancestors and broken the curse off of them and their descendants. There are histories about two families and their descendants in the booklet. These stories clearly show the effects of the sins of the ancestors and how the descendants are cursed for generations. You can see the pattern repeating generation after generation. I came across those when we were writing that booklet. That lesson, which eventually turned into a booklet. And it's really an interesting story. And it was actually in non-Christian literature. It just simply, somebody researched these two families, and they documented the number of bastards and so forth. And it's quite a revelation to read what happened to these two families, generation after generation. The Indian curses. Indian curses come from Indians worshiping idols in their worship services, worshiping other gods, and practicing the occult. I've really been asked by a lot of people about Earlene. I think there's more people that miss Earlene than would rather have me here, because just taking a poll, I've been asked a lot about, you know, where is Earlene? Why isn't she here? I miss her and so forth. Well, I miss her too. I'll just tell you what she's doing, in case you, I haven't already told you. She took this off as a week for the family. She went up to Maine to a wedding of one of our nieces. And then she went to Chattanooga for a family reunion on her side of the family. And then she's going to Chicago for a wedding for another niece. And then she's going to fly into Little Rock Saturday night about 9 o'clock. I'm going to pick her up, and we'll spend the night in the motel up around there somewhere and head back early in the morning for Baton Rouge. So my team is, you know, the team is not here. It's just Gene. Unfortunately, Gene can't do everything that Earlene can. You see, I'm about half the team is here. I consider Earlene to be an equal partner with me. Praise God, you know, she's my wife. She's my lover. She's the mother of my children. She's my, we're grandfathers. She's my grandmother for my one and only grandchild. She's my co-minister. We're co and fellow ministers. I consider her ministry just as important as mine. I think it's a tremendous supplement to what I do. A man cannot cover everything that a woman can. And so she's my equal. Now, in being the head of my home, if we can't agree, then I make the decision. That's the way it goes. But by and large, we agree. So praise God. If she were here, she'd probably be commenting on what I'm saying. But she's not here. So I got to do the best I can. Earlene had Cherokee Indian ancestors on both sides of her family within three generations. Because of these curses, her family had heart trouble and many men died therefrom. Earlene, as a woman, even had heart trouble. The following is her testimony. I had a heart condition which was unusual. It never occurred with regularity nor under any specific condition. While taking a treadmill test, I experienced tremendous pain in the chest, arms, and neck. Having been examined by a heart specialist in Minneapolis, who told me that my heart was good, but he had written death by heart attack on many people's certificates like myself. These were people who didn't really have anything wrong with their hearts. Can you see that? A lot of people die when there's really not anything wrong with their hearts. They die. They die through curses. They're cursed, come down the generational line, and they die. A year or so after my dad's death, I found my heart acting up again. Sometimes 1 to 5 years would last between seizures. I began to ask God to show me why my brother's dad, dad's brothers, and his dad all had heart problems. He showed me Ezekiel 18 and Exodus 20. Okay, let's look those up. Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. Okay, let me read the caption to that chapter. God reproveth the unjust parable of sour grapes. He showeth how he dealeth with a just father, with a wicked son of a just father, with a just son of a wicked father, and with a wicked man repenting, and with a just man revolting. He defendeth his justice and exhorteth to repentance. And let's just look at verses 14 through 18. Okay, that's Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 14 through 18. Now lo, if he begat a son that seeth all his father's sins which he hath done, and considereth and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withholden the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received usury nor increase, hath executed my judgment, hath walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother with by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Okay, we can recover from the sins of our ancestors. Now let's look at Exodus chapter 20. Okay, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. We're talking about the Ten Commandments. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Okay, this is a generational curse. But notice verse 6. Most of the time we read verses 1 through 5, we don't read verse 6. Verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. God has been showing us, me and you, mercy in this camp meeting because of the sins of our ancestors. He told me to repent for my ancestors and myself for the sin of idol worship in Leviticus 26. Let's look that up. Let's look at Leviticus 26, 36 through 42. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 36 through 42. Okay, verses 36. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them. And they shall flee as they flee in from a sword. And they shall fall when none pursueth. and they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth. And ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And you shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in their enemies' lands. And also in the iniquities of your fathers shall they pine away with them. Sound like what's happening to the United States. Now verse 40. Here is the solution. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, with their trespass which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. So God is going to remember the land when we do what we're supposed to do. He's going to remember you. The curse of idol worship follows the bloodline. I did these things and have been free since then. I was only the second generation from previous generations that sinned before God. Earlene actually had Cherokee Indians on both sides of her family, so she had a double curse. Well, praise God, she no longer has any heart trouble. It's gone. See how unusual that was? It's unusual for women to have heart trouble. If you're a woman and you have heart trouble, let's check it out. Why do you have heart trouble? Especially younger women. Okay, the older you get, maybe there's more excuse for it. But the younger you are, there's less excuse for it. Cursed objects. Now let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 26. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt surely detest it, and thou shalt surely abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Excuse me. If you have cursed objects on your body, or in your possession that you carry around, or that are in your home, then you're cursed by God. You invited the demons to attack you and the people that live in your home. Now I'm going to make you mad. My favorite example is pierced ears, which is a sign of slavery in the Bible. Jesus Christ wants us to live a simple life without religious objects or graven images. I want the men to take off all of their religious objects. I want the women to take off all jewelry except wedding rings and watches. Why don't I ask you to do this? This helps in deliverance. Now, you don't have to take them off if you don't want to. That's up to you. But I recommend you do it. Summary. Let's summarize some of this. Therefore, be careful how you think, pray, speak, and act. Study your Bible to find out how God thinks and acts so that you can think, speak, pray, and act in accordance with His will. Also study to see how you should bless, rather than curse, others as well as yourself and your family. Obey and be blessed. Disobey and be cursed. It's your choice. You will be blessed in proportion to the amount of the Bible you follow and cursed in proportion to the amount of Bible you do not follow. We are told to keep all the words of the Holy Bible. Is any part of the Bible you don't have to keep? Does the Bible tell you you should follow all the Bible, all the words of the Bible, all the commandments of the Bible? That little word all appears in there quite frequently. Spiritual warfare. Periodically, Earlene and I have to break the curses that are placed against us in our ministry. For that matter, against our ministry, our business, our family. You can feel the spiritual pressure building up, and it is necessary to go to spiritual war. We forgive those who knowingly or unknowingly are praying or speaking against us. Break any curses or soul ties. Send the demons back to those who sent them, and pray that their eyes will be opened. Is ignorance an excuse? Just because you don't know something in the Bible, is that an excuse? Is that God's going to let you get away with it? No. It'd sort of be nice, I guess, if it would be. Any part of the Bible you don't know, you're going to pay a price for it. And unfortunately, not only are you going to pay a price for it, but your family will pay a price for it. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, what I want to do is want all of you to stand up. It's been a long day. It's been a good day, though.
Amen. Thank you.
Praise God. Just stand up, and I'm going to lead you through a prayer. Take a stretch, get that blood circulating, and then we're going to go through a prayer, and we're going to break curses, and we're going to go through some deliverance. Okay, I don't see any sleepy people out there. Food is not an excuse today. Well, I ate lunch and I just couldn't keep my eyes away. No, you didn't eat lunch today, did you? You fasted and prayed. You were seeking the welfare of others other than yourself. Didn't hurt you either. Didn't hurt you to lose that lunch or lose that breakfast. Got rid of some cholesterol and fat and whatnot. Okay, I want all of you to pray out loud and pray sincerely. It's up to you. It's not up to me. I can only do what you cooperate with me in. Now let's go through this prayer. And if I get somebody to bring me a glass of water, because I'm going to need that when I start casting demons in. Okay, let's pray. Father, we want to bless others, and be blessed, rather than curse others, and be cursed. Please make us a blessing, and take away the curse. We will get rid of cursed objects in our possession. We ask that you, other people, and our descendants forgive us for anything we have done to bring the curse. We forgive our ancestors and everyone else that have placed curses on us. Please forgive all these people. Thank you. For psychic prayers, spoken curses, ancestral curses, parental curses, cursing by others, cursing ourselves, cursing our descendants, disobedience, Ahab and Jezebel, charismatic witchcraft, conceiving bastards, having incest, Indian curses, and any other curse, known or unknown, that is found in the Holy Word of God. I now break any curses placed on me or my descendants from uttering a wish of evil against one, to imprecate evil, to call for mischief or injury, to fall upon, to execrate, to bring evil upon or to, to blast, vex, harass or torment with great calamities. I break the curses back to 10 generations, or even to Adam and Eve, on both sides of my family, and destroy every legal hold, and every legal ground that demons have to work in my life. I break the curses that follow. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mistreating God's chosen people.
Mistreating God's chosen people.
Adultery, harlotry, and prostitution.
Adultery, harlotry, and prostitution.
Idolatry.
Idolatry.
Refusing to fight for God.
Refusing to fight for God.
Not giving to the poor.
Not giving to the poor.
Swearing falsely by God.
Swearing falsely by God.
Robbing God of tithes.
Robbing God of tithes.
Hearkening to wives rather than God.
Hearkening to wives rather than God.
Cheating people out of property.
Cheating people out of property.
Oppressing strangers, widows, and orphans.
Oppressing strangers, widows, and orphans.
Incest with sister or mother.
Incest with sister or mother.
Pride.
Pride.
Doing the work of God deceitfully. Abortion or causing the unborn to die.
Abortion or causing the unborn to die.
Murdering indirectly.
Murdering indirectly.
Kidnapping.
Kidnapping.
Not preventing death.
Not preventing death.
Witchcraft.
Witchcraft.
Following horoscopes.
Following horoscopes.
Losing virginity before marriage. Rape.
Teaching rebellion against God.
Refusing to warn sinners.
Sacrificing humans.
Intercourse during ministration.
Necromancers.
Being carnally minded.
Children rebelling.
Willing deceivers.
Disobedience to the Bible.
Keeping cursed objects.
House of the wicked.
Stealing.
Failing to give glory to God.
Dishonoring parents.
Making graven images.
Taking advantage of the blind.
Bestiality.
Murder secretly or for hire.
Putting trust in man.
Rewarding evil for good.
Having bastards.
Striking parents.
Cursing parents.
Sacrificing to God.
Turning someone away from God.
Rebelling against pastors.
False prophets.
Not disciplining children.
Cursing rulers.
Defiling the Sabbath.
Seances and fortune telling.
Homosexuals and lesbians.
Blaspheming the Lord's name.
Oral and anal sex.
Non-productivity.
Fugitive and vagabond.
Destruction of family priesthood.
Family disorder.
Any sin worthy of death.
Perversion of the gospel.
Choosing that which God delights not in.
Stubbornness and rebellion.
Adding to or taken away from the Bible.
Improper family structure.
Refusing to do the Word of God.
Failure and poverty.
Touching God's anointed.
Loving cursing.
Looking to the world for help.
Offending children believing in Christ.
And finally,
any biblical curse
not listed above.
For it's in Jesus' name I pray,
and take authority over these curses,
and repent,
and break these curses in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, you may be seated. Let me get a drink of water here.
Okay, let's get rid of some demons. Now, I want the workers to circulate around and do whatever you need to do while I call out this list of demons. And I guess I better go through basic deliverance. I almost skipped that. Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against those spirits of rejection, fear of rejection, self-rejection, inability to give and receive love, prenatal rejection, conception and lust, rejection by the mother and father, rejection by brothers and sisters, rejection by Christian brothers and sisters, hurts and deep hurts. Now come out right now. I want that whole family rejection to go in Jesus' name. Come out of the people. We are not rejected. We're loved. And Lord, I pray that you'd send the spirits of love down upon these people, Father, that they might receive freedom. Let them know, Lord, by your Holy Spirit that they're loved. And Lord, I pray that you'd send those angels, Father, to minister love. And also as a warfare against those demons. Now come out. I want all these demons to go. Now we've taken away your legal right. And I remind you, demons, that you're going to be cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm shall never die and the fire shall never be quenched. You're going to be cast in there with your master Satan. You'll be in total loneliness and total despair. I command you to bow your knee to Jesus Christ and do what he's telling you to do and go where he's telling you to go. Now come out of the people right now. I want all that rejection and hurt and deep hurts and inability to give and receive love. I want all of that to go in Jesus' name. Come on, I stir you up and I drive you out by the power and authority invested in me by Jesus Christ. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Signs will follow those that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. Now come out. We agree together in unity in the name of Jesus Christ for the freedom of the people. Now come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. All that rejection, we command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Every spirit of bitterness, the family of bitterness, resentment, hatred, unforgiveness, violence, temper, anger, retaliation, murder, suicide, death, abortion, fear of death, I call out the killer spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out. Come out. Hatred, self-hatred, come out of the people right now. Now loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. You have no choice. We have taken away your legal rights. We drive you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. I want that whole family of bitterness to go. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of bitterness, all works of bitterness, all roots of bitterness, now come out of the people in Jesus' name. Now loose them and set them free right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no choice. You will come out of them in Jesus' name. All rejection, all bitterness must go in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out of the people right now. Call out the family of rebellion. Come out. I break any tie between rebellion and witchcraft, and I drive out the family of rebellion in Jesus' name. Come out, the family of rebellion, all works, all roots, memories, scar, nets, and habits, come out. Spirits of rebellion, self-will, stubbornness, disobedience, anti-submissiveness, come out of the people. Come out of God's people. Come out of my brothers and sisters right now. Come out. You have no choice. You will go in the name of Jesus Christ. All rebellion. And I drive out any. I break the tie between rebellion and witchcraft. I drive out any rebellion that came in through witchcraft. Or witchcraft that came in through rebellion. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind your power. Now come out, loose them, and set them free. All rejection, bitterness, and rebellion, those three common demon groupings, all roots, memories, scarness, and habits, ruler demons, and lesser demons, we command you to go. Now line up in rank and file in order and come out quickly. We command you to go out and walk around in dry places and not come back again. Now go. Loose them and set them free in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command you to go. Now keep on coming out. I want all that rejection, bitterness, and rebellion to go in Jesus' name. That's right. We bind your power and drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. That's right. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I use the word of God against you. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch as they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them which were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Come out, every spirit of pestilence, consumption, fever, inflammation, extreme burning, blasting, mildew, botch of Egypt, hemorrhoids, scab, itch, madness, blindness, astonishment of heart, plague, sore sicknesses, diseases of Egypt, trembling of heart, failing of eyes, sorrow of mind, broken vows, unicorn, 12-petal rosette, love and romance, pinnacle, pentagram, Star of David, white magic, Italian horn, Egyptian ankh, Mexican sun god, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. For he had healed many, insomuch as they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, "Thou art the Son of God." And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Come out, every spirit of idol worship, bastard, wicked balances, dislike, hatred, murder, curse of the law, bless you spirits, incest, lesbians, necromancers, blaspheming, sodomy, oral sex, anal sex, slackness, deeper teachings, Irish shamrock hex, fertility, deceiving, adultery, disobedience, cursed objects, thievery, false swearing, the distal thing, eight-pointed star, eastern star, Mogan David, Masonic symbols, leprechaun staff, Egyptian sun god Ra, Buddhist, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first find a strong man, and then he will spoil his house. The word of God against you, demons. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter unto them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place in the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerned the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Come out in the name of Jesus, every spirit of graven images, pride, Catholic prayers, prince of southern curses, prince of the occult, witchcraft curses, voodoo curses, occult curses, American Indian curses, charismatic witchcraft, horoscopes, rebellion, false prophets, seances, fortune telling, non-productivity, personal poverty, misrepresentation, perversion of judgment, doubt, homosexual, tulip, your lucky stars, friendship hex, hexagram, cabalistic magic symbol, Freemasonry, unicorn's horn, zodiac, crescent, moon, and star. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your power and drive you out. Now loose them and set them free. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And he cast out many devils and anointed with oil. Many were sick and healed them. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Come out, every spirit of cursing, vexation, rebuke, destroying, perishing, consuming, groping. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. The name of Jesus, that name above all names. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, while the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. Come out, every spirit of not prospering, oppressed, spoiled, failure, crushed, smite, pursuing. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs on the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon a bed. Come out, every spirit of sore bosh of the knees, leg, and whole body. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. And looking up into heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephrata, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Come out, every spirit of overtaking, distress, plucked, chastisement, removed, not healed. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go right now in Jesus' name. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times he had cast him in the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Now come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, every spirit of astonishment, proverb, byword, wont, besiege, straightness, evil. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go now, loose them and set them free in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your power. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbade him because he followed not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. Come out, every spirit of emotionalism, love of money, psychic prayers, idol worship, conceived in lust. In the name of Jesus Christ, we drive you out. Now go, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off, for it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. For the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off, for it is better for thee to enter halt into life, and having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. For the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, for it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Come out, every spirit of abortion, rejection, physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, bastard. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. In the name of Jesus, we command you to go. We bind your power. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Come out, every spirit of incest, fornication, strife, alienation, sickness, deceit, delusions, cruelty, in the name of Jesus. And Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Come out, every spirit of lying, seduction, death, troubling, confusion, lethargy, misery, destruction. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Come out, every spirit of ignorance, sorrow, wickedness, badness, adversity, affliction, calamity. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. We bind your power and drive you out in Jesus' name. Come out. Loose them and set them free in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no choice, demons. We use the word of God against you as a sharp two-edged sword capable of dividing spirit and soul asunder. We use it against you in Jesus' name. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Come out, spirit of displeasure, distress, grief, harm, hurt, mischief, sadness, trouble, vex. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Come out every spirit of wretchedness, wrong, perishing, decay, ruin, corruptness, destroying, falling. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Come out of my brothers and sisters right now in the name of Jesus Christ. That we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. In the name of Jesus Christ. Loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of deluded, allured, enticed, persuaded, slumber, stupor, hardening, error, taking God's glory. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Come out, every spirit of taking God's glory, following man, witchcraft, and Indian spirits. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. When the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Now come out, all these common demon families, all families I mention, I command you to go and take all your roots, memories, scarnets, and habits, ruler demons, and lesser demons with you. I demand the complete cleansing in every area where we've taken away your legal right. Now come out of the people in Jesus' name. Come out. Loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ. And he rose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife and mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go according to the word of God. I command every demon that I've called out your name out of the word of God, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit that's identified in the word of God that I have read, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now when the sun was setting, all that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. The word of God against you demons, a sharp two-edged sword. And Lord, I pray that you send that word of God out and sever, cut those roots out of those demons. Sever the spirit, the demon spirit from the soul in Jesus' name. Now go. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his feet and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Now come out of the people in Jesus' name. Now loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, that name above all names. Just keep on coming out, line up in rank and file in order, and come out quickly. And he came down with him and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of the people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the seacoast of Tyre and Zidon, which came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. That's right. Now go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. I come against all infirmities, weakness, sicknesses, and diseases. I come against all diseases that are listed in the Bible. I command those to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Infirmities, weaknesses, sicknesses, and diseases. I command those to go in Jesus' name. Now loose the people.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.